Let's talk about Strategy Sunday, right? Let's talk about some things that are coming up in the market, some ways we can make money. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the money mindset, right? Because that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, because a lot of people don't have the money mindset. They don't understand what you have to have a certain mindset to go after money. And some mindsets won't allow you to go after money because it's based on how you think. It's based on your perception of things. So let's get into it, right? So there's a bunch of things going on with the stock market. Now, a few things in particular I'm going to do some plays on. And I'll also want to talk about the Chestnut Checkers room, right? It's exploding, man. And I didn't think it was going to grow this fast, right? So we got a private room now. You guys know I used to put my trades online, but, you know, there was some problems with some people going crazy because their trades didn't work out. So what I did is I just decided to, you know, put in a private room, right? So we're still, everybody's going good in that room. It's a very, very exciting room. We got about 200 members. I didn't expect it to grow this fast. I didn't expect it to get that big, but it's pretty big, right? So I'm excited about that. People are trading tips, whatever. And a lot of times, man, people talk so much to each other, man, I'll get in there and I'll say something and they don't even know that I'm in there. And that's what I like to see is because the vast majority of the people in that class, in that room have taken my classes. So one of the proudest things to me as a teacher is to see students able to move forward and you know, on their own. There's some guys posting stuff that I'm like, man, he's way advanced, right? Because that's what I like to see, right? Because the purpose of a teacher, right, is to spark that you know, that future in somebody, right? So you give them the base knowledge, you spark it in them. And then, you know, and that's it, right? Then they go off on their own. Some people end up being better than you, and that's nothing wrong with that. I love that. I love to see a guy come back 8 months later, and he's doing stuff I never even heard of, right? And that's what I like to hear, because that means that I've done my job, right? And like I said, my job is a teacher in that room. So when people learn, a lot of people go on, you know, and do things that I don't even, you know, fully understand what they're doing. They're way more advanced than me, and that's what I like to see, right? So like as a basketball coach, you want to see one of your students or whatever getting farther than where you are. That's what you want to see. That means you did a good job. All right, so let's move on. So what we're going to talk about tonight is if you want to get into that room, that's what I want to talk about a little bit. So if you want to get in that room, send me a message and I'll send you the link to get in. And you can get in if you want to. So send me a message after this and, you know, or right now if you want to and come back in and I'll send you the message. I'll send you a link to get into that Discord room or private room, or it's called Chestnut Checkers Community. So let's talk about what happened in Neo after the bell, right? After the bell, and you guys know I love Neo because I feel like Neo is a stock. It's NIO. It's a stock that's where Tesla used to be, but it's in China, right? It's a Chinese-based company that produces electric cars. So there right now is where Tesla was four, five, 6 years ago. So they're at a very, very, but you go back 5 years ago, you definitely would have bought Tesla stock. It was way down. It was like $80, right? So, and it ended up being like 2,000, 20 times. So we got another opportunity here. We got a great opportunity with NIO because NIO right now is at the point of where Tesla was a few years ago. And a lot of people are getting into NIO, including me. And I'm starting to buy, I bought some calls on it for January, February. So I'm starting to buy more calls because I strongly, strongly feel NIO's at about $18. It's going to be at 100, I think, in a year or 2 years. Easily. Soon as, because they announced after the bell. And a lot of times these announcements in the stock market happen after the bell because they don't want to affect the stock price. They don't want to announce in the middle of the day. It affects the price too much. So a lot of times when these announcements are after the bell is because there are significant announcements. So NIO allowed, after the bell, they announced that they released a new hybrid SUV. Now, I think that's going to cause the market to move on Monday. I think it's going to move. NIO. NIO is a stock symbol. It's going to move the market on Monday, I believe. I don't know how much, but I think it is. So, and we all know when we know something's going to happen, we got a catalyst event. If you guys are using the momentum strategy, we can take advantage of that, right? If we can predict something's going to happen, kind of predict it, we could take it. We could make some money on that, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to watch NIO in the morning. We're going to see what happens. We're going to take a look at it, right? And we're going to see, you know, we're going to kind of figure out, you know, what's happening. If we see that momentum in the morning, we're going to make an option play, call option right around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and see if we can make some money that way. So that's what I'm looking at in the morning on NIO, right? And then we got some more things, right? We got Tesla. Tesla's been sliding all week, right? So like I said, like, and we talked about this last week, right? Last week, I said that I thought I said 60-40% that Tesla battery day was going to be a letdown. That's what I said. And what happened? It ended up being a letdown because in most cases, when you have a news event like that, with that much hype behind it, it's almost always going to be a letdown. I mean, how could it not be? These people, that's what I'm saying, man, is these people love Tesla so much that they can't let it go. They hype it up too high, and then it's impossible to meet that goal. These people are actually ruining their own stock. These people that are in love with Tesla, they call them Tesla, what do they call them? Fanboys or whatever they call them. These people are actually hurting their own stock. They hype it up so much. They talk about all, man, these people were talking about this for weeks, man. Weeks and weeks and battery day. That's all I heard. I didn't even know what it was. I had to look it up. I was like, well, battery day? What? Because it was really an insignificant event. But they hyped it up so much that, you know, I was obviously going to be a letdown, you know. But I still thought, you know, with Tesla, I'm kind of scared because those fan people, those they can hype stocks up so much that sometimes you can't predict it. But I was like 60-40% that it was going to be a letdown. It ended up being a letdown, right? So now the stock's falling. So it may be a free fall all the way back down past 300. That's what I think. If you had to ask me, what's Tesla at right now? Somebody look up where Tesla's at. Where is Tesla at? I think Tesla's about what? It's going to go. I would say 75% that it's going to go all the way back down past 300. And when we, like I said, another thing we can predict, we kind of see that coming. What can we do? We can take put options. I did some put options last week on Tesla, and I'm going to do some more this week, right? Because there's a very, very good chance Tesla can go back to 300. But like I said, the problem is with this is that the market's going to be volatile for the next, we're in October, November, probably 2 months. We're going to see a lot of volatility. And what that means for new people, volatility means that the market's just moving a lot, up and down. It's a lot of movement in the market, right? It may be up 10% one day, 5% down. You know, it's going to be like that for a while. So it may be hard to predict Tesla day by day. But if you go over like 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be a slow downtrend all the way back down to 300. Right. So tomorrow we can wake up, it could be up 3% and everybody's gonna be like, oh man, he didn't know what he's talking about. But if you just look at it, you come back and talk to me at the end of next month, it's going to be at 300 and everybody's going to be like, oh man, what, you know, that's what happened, right? Is that all the air is out of it. There's nothing else to look forward to. The only thing that pushed it back up to 400 was the battery day. Now there's nothing else. And remember, the real value of Tesla is about 100. Right? So hype is going to push it to 250, 200. But the real true value of Tesla is about 100. So where are we going to fall there? I don't know. We may fall back to 100. We may fall to 250. I don't know. But I'm telling you, I say 300. It's going to go past 300, but I don't know how much farther. And at this time, it's going to stay there for a while because there's nothing else. And that's the thing about it. If Biden gets elected, the overall market's going to crash. So that's going to pull it down even farther. And we may see about 200 on Tesla, maybe 175 or something that low. You know, we may see that. But now we're on another side of that, right? So once it gets below 300, 250, that's maybe an opportunity to buy. So now it's a time to get in and start buying these stocks up. So if we do see this volatility going into the election, if we see these drops that I believe is going to happen if Biden gets elected, because the dude's running around saying he's going to raise taxes. I mean, I know we want to punish the rich and they got all this stuff. So on eat the rich and all this stuff. But you got to remember, man, rich people can crash the market. They're the ones that got all the money in there. If they pull out, the market's going to crash. They're the ones that finance all this stuff. You know, and I'm not getting political here, but I'm just saying it's the truth. They do, you know, just think about it, be honest, right? So they're the ones financing this stuff, putting the money somewhere. So if they pull their money out because of taxes, the market's going to crash, right? But it'll crash all the way to probably January, then it'll pick back up. So it don't matter if Biden gets elected, Trump. If Biden gets elected, you're going to see a crash right after. But it probably will start recovering around January. Around January would be okay, right? So this is going to be a short-term crash, people cashing out to protect their gains against Biden's tax raises the next year. So let's talk a little bit about, so it's another event that could be happening. So we talked about events that could possibly affect the election. The first one possibly affect the stock market. We're talking about elections. The election's coming up, so I'm predicting a lot of volatility. I mean, that's an easy prediction. Everybody's predicting that. You know, it's nothing special. Everybody knows that, right? But the second thing is that I got a strong inclination here that Corona, the COVID crisis may come back. Now, if the COVID crisis come back, now that's going to be bad, man. Like, it could come back, man. And like I said, with the fall coming, and we already seeing some upticks in Europe. So that's something else we can kind of see coming, right? I mean, I don't see how there wouldn't be another uptick in Corona, in COVID. I don't see how we can get away with that, right? Because if you just look at the regular flu takes off in the fall and the winter because people are closer together in the doors, not going outside as much. A cold air somehow preserves the virus. That's just with the regular flu. So now we got Corona on top of that. Now, I mean, just basic science tells you that it's going to be just as bad with COVID, right? It has to be. So if it is, now what's going to happen with the economy, right? So I like with the economy wise, I don't think there'll be another shutdown right now, because there's a lot of the COVID thing turned political real fast. And that's what's so crazy, man, is that some an event like that, should everything nowadays is political. Even that, like I saw somebody saying, you know, they're not wearing masks and stuff. I mean, like, but I mean, it's up to you not to wear a mask. But I mean, it's getting political. Like, I'm not wearing a mask because I'm a Republican. Come on, man. That doesn't even make sense, man. If it's right, it's right. It's wrong, it's wrong. I'm not, you know, either way, just don't go by your party. Do what you think is right. Be an independent thinker. You know, just because the Democrats say it, or the Republicans say it, or CNN says it, or Fox News say it, that's what scares me with this country, is that people just follow what these talking heads tell them what to do. Oh, man, he said, oh, Trump said this. Oh, man, come on, man. We need to be a country with more independent thought. Independent thought, man. Look at the information coming at you and pick a decision. It don't matter if it's Democrat or Republican. All this separation and stuff is killing this country, man. It's just killing this country. And it's kind of sad. It's sad that this is happening. So many people just pick whatever their parties say. Like, I had a friend who was all, you know, he was like, oh man, COVID's going to be bad. It's going to be this, that. And then Trump starts saying, you know, he's a Trump supporter. Trump starts saying, look, oh man, COVID's a scam. And he starts saying it like immediately afterwards. It's almost like these people tell these people what to think. And they start thinking it immediately, like the next day. Trump can say it, and the next day they start thinking like that. And to be honest with yourself, be honest, and to be independent in the middle, Obama was the same way. Obama could say something, and the next day everybody would be repeating it. Their whole mind would change because Obama said it in a speech or something. Obama said it on the news, so all of a sudden their mind changed. That's what they wanted. We need to be a more independent country, independent thinkers, man. And it's not many independent thinkers anymore. And that's why I was talking about, I'm going to go back to stocks, but I just want to talk a little bit about the money mindset here, because this is another part I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about that tonight anyway. But I had a class. I do a tech class, Java programming every two weeks, every 3 weeks, because I just wanted people to learn about tech, because tech is one of the tech changed my life. Right. So I used to be poor. I was the first person ever in my family to go to college. My grandfather was a sharecropper. My mom was a factory worker. You know, my father left me when I was 3. And when I discovered technology, I discovered programming. It changed my life to get me where I am today. Now, if I didn't get all that income from tech, I wouldn't be, even with investing, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be where I am today without that high income salary that I got from being in technology, right? That's what jettisoned my life to where it's at today, right? So I give those classes because I want people to understand that, you know, especially the younger generation, right? They want to be influenced and stuff like that, man. Tech is the way to go, man. An average tech person makes more than the average NBA person over their lifetime. But back to what I was saying is that I do a tech class every 3 weeks. And there was it's 500 people sign up every single time. So I turn on the webinar, look in there, 40 people there. So 500 people sign up, 40 people actually show up. And it happens a lot with my free classes, never that low. It's normally about 80% don't show up. So 500 to sign up, or maybe 100 show up. 80%, you know, I'm okay with that. But this time it was 95% didn't show up. 90% didn't show up. Almost 92% didn't show up. And I'm like, man, 92% did not show up. And then I start thinking, man, I'm talking to them programming. I did an aside. I said, man, if I go back in my life and just think over all the events that got me to where I'm at today, one of the biggest things was just showing up. people, the average person is so, I mean, I'm being honest with you, man. I'm not trying to put anybody down or something, but the average run-of-the-mill person won't even try. All you got to do in most cases is put effort forth, and you'll be head and shoulders above everybody else. I'm not saying you're going to get rich, but man, all it takes is effort, because so many people don't put in effort. That's why being relatively successful is easy, because so many people won't even try. And it's sad, man. It's sad that so many people won't even try. They just lay, watch TV, laugh at comedies. They won't even try. Not even one step. They'll just take, a lot of people, and I saw an article about this, and it made me sad, man. It made me sad. It said that, and this affects Hispanics too. It's not just African Americans, but an article came out, a study, it said the average African American male reaches a roughly $40,000 a year salary at age 40. And then that's it. That's it for the rest of his life. He never goes a dollar higher. He reaches a plateau at 40 and just stays like that for the rest of his life. And a black woman is about 35, and Hispanics are not much different, a little bit lower probably actually. Why is that, man? Why would you give up at 40? 40 is still young. I'm 39, I'll be 40 next year. I'm not giving up. But it's because people don't even want to put that, they just give up, I'm not doing that. That's why it's so easy to be successful, relatively. I'm not saying be a millionaire. I'm saying relatively successful in business and finance and everything. It's pretty easy. And the reason is because most people won't even try. So all you got to do is wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to give my all every day. It's a matter of time before you're successful. Because so many people won't even do that. They do everything. I'm not doing that. Oh, man, I'm going to work and just do it the base. Oh, man, I'm not going to save money. I'm just going to spend everything I got. Oh, man, I'm going to take out the max mortgage I can get. I don't care. And then that's why they ruin their lives. Because of that stuff, don't care. I'm not gonna show any kind of restraint, and then I'm not gonna show any kind of effort. And that's a bad combination. No restraint on your finances, but also no effort to increase your income. That's a bad combination, and most people are like that. That's a bad combination. Most people have no restraint on their finances. They'll make max loans on cars, houses, all this stuff. And then they won't even put in the effort to raise their income. Just, let it come to me, whatever happens. Well, so if you restrain on your expenses and raise your income, you're going to be head and shoulders above everybody else. It's that easy. It's that easy, right? And that's why a lot of people in that Discord room, in that chat room are successful, because they've put the effort for it. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is put a little effort for it, and that's it. And then you'll see the success and move, but so many people won't even do that. Like, why wouldn't you? Okay, think about the thinking of signing up to a free tech class and then not even showing up. Well, what's the point of that? It doesn't even make sense, but people do it all the time. They do it all the time. But people don't do that in the paid class. That's one reason why I charge for that. I charge for that room, that Discord room, because it creates, the money ain't really that important, right? But what happens is because people are putting money in, they all of a sudden, they start to take it more serious. That's why that community is so engaged. That's why that community is so powerful. That's why they help each other. That's why there's so much engagement going on in that community, talking back and forth, everybody coming up with deals, talking about stock stuff, because they paid to get in, they see value in it. They see value in it. That's the reason why that room is better than a lot of free ones you're going to see, right? Sometimes you pay a small token amount. And a lot of these rooms are $100, $200 a month. So I just put a small amount, a token amount, so that people can be engaged. And that's why that room is so powerful, because people are engaged, right? So let's talk a little bit about the money mindset. We're going to talk a little, one thing else, and we're going to go back to stocks, and I'm going to end it, right? So it's something I talked about on my Instagram earlier this weekend, but it's something else, I want to continue talking about it a little bit more. So it's this concept of people. And I hear people say, especially when I was growing up, man, my family actually taught me to do this. Oh, man, just say you broke, man, save money. Oh, man, just tell everybody you broke. So I come from an area in Tennessee where people will say I'm broke to get out of paying for some, or that's a way that they save money like that, right? They say, look, man, I'm broke, man, I can't go. So in their mind, they're saying that to save money, right? So they tell everybody they're broke, they stay at home, they save money. And that's all good, right? Saving money is good. You know, I believe in doing it for certain purposes. I don't believe in saving money for no reason. I believe in saving for certain purposes, but people use it as a strategy to save money. You guys have heard it before. Look, I'm broke, man. Can't do that. I'm broke. Can't do this. I'm broke. But you got to remember, man, if you continue to say that over and over and over and over, it gets in your head. That's negativity. And let's put it in a different light here. Let's say I'm in college, right? Let's equate money to like homework, right? Let's say, you know, in money wise, I really don't want to go out. I don't want to spend money. I don't want to do this. I want to reserve my money. Okay, that's good. Let's put it in another context. Let's say you're in college or in high school and you don't really want to help people with their homework. You don't want to do all this stuff. So you say, oh man, somebody say, hey man, can you help me with my homework, Armando? I said, oh man, you know, I don't have the intelligence to do that, man. If somebody else says, hey, Armando, help me with my math. Oh, man, you know, I don't have the intelligence to do that. Somebody else says, hey, Armando, help me with my Spanish homework. Oh, you know, I don't have the intelligence to do that. You continue saying that over and over and over and over again. I promise you it's going to get in your head. That's the same thing as saying I'm broke. Keep saying it over and over and over again. I promise you, you're going to see yourself as a broke person. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Keep saying it over. I'm broke. I'm broke. I'm broke. I'm broke. That's why I hate that saying, man. You can say it a different way. You can say, look, man, I don't have the money for that right now. You can have $1 million in the bank. You can say, I ain't got the money for that right now. It's not in my budget for that. I don't have my money. I don't have money to go to Wing House with you tonight. I don't have money to go to the club with you tonight. You can have millions of dollars in the bank, but you don't have money set aside for that. That's still a true statement. I don't have money for that right now. That's still a true statement. And it doesn't get into your head so much as I'm broke. I ain't got no money, man. I'm broke. I ain't got nothing, man. I don't have it, man. You keep saying that. Keep saying that long enough, and I promise you, you'll be broke the rest of your life. And that's one reason why people who are cheap always end up broke. And that's a weird fact, right? Like I said, I've known 4 cheap people in my life. 4 truly cheap people who won't spend a dime. They always end up broke. Now, how is that possible? They save every dollar. They're scared. They won't spend a dollar. They always end up broke. Because of that negativity, lying to people, saying, I ain't got no money, I don't have money for this. You keep saying that. Keep saying it. It's a matter of time for it's part of who you are. And that's it. Once something becomes part of who you are, it's very, very difficult to change that. That's who you are now. You're a broke man. You're a broke woman. That's who you are now. You've said it for 15 years. You're broke now. You're Armando the broke man. That's what you are. And in your mind, you see yourself like that. Everybody has a self-image of who they are in their head. Everybody has a self-image, right? Everybody sees themselves as a certain way. And maybe people outside won't even see that. You know, you may have a whole different image of yourself than what everybody else sees. But keep saying I'm broke. Your image in your head is now a broke dude walking around. And now, how can a broke man be smart with money? How can a broke man ask for more money on the job? How can a broke man go out and find more income? He can't do it. He's a broke man. He's broke, don't have nothing. And that gets in your head, and now all of a sudden you double down, you start saving even more. And it's a cycle, boom, boom, boom. Pretty soon, you're a cheap, broke man with nothing. It's okay to be frugal, but it's depending on how you say it. It's okay to be frugal, it's okay to save money. But, that leads you to another story, right? I got 2 more stories, and I'm gonna go back to stocks, so we're gonna end it. So a story came out this is what I'm talking about, frugal. Being frugal in some ways is wrong. You have to search for value. Value is what you should look for. A lot of people look at price and they go for price. Value is what you want, what you look for, right? And I'm gonna tell you a story. There was a woman, a Korean woman, over the weekend. This is when I saw the news, so it may have been old news, I don't know. She got arrested in New York because she was like, she was going to Central Park and she was taking the pigeons. And then going back to the restaurant and cooking it as chicken dumplings and selling it, right? And then people figured it out, and they, the police followed her with a camera, caught her doing it, and they arrested her. So, I mean, if you think of, step back and look at this as a business owner. So you spend 6 hours in the park every week catching birds, and you got to clean them. You can't just throw them. You got to clean the birds, take off the feathers. You do all of that work to save a few dollars on chicken. I mean, that's a bad decision. And you got to remember the risk. We talk about risk a lot. I always talk about risk. You got the risk. You got the risk of losing everything. That risk is hanging over you. So you got the risk and also the work. I promise you, if you math, you did that logically, the math don't work out. The math does not work out. The best thing to do is should have bought buy cheap chicken. But these people, some of these people, and I'm not talking about Koreans. I'm not getting, you know, I'm just saying people who are cheap. I want to make sure I say that. Because when I say these people may think I'm talking about the Korean woman. I'm saying people who are cheap. These cheap people are so emotionally attached to money that they make bad decisions like that. They make bad decisions when it comes to money. They'll lose money out of one hand, grabbing it with the other. Lose $10 out the right hand, holding on to two in the left. Because you're so cheap and you have that emotion is attached to it. You lose a lot of money out your other hand, holding on to the $2 in your left hand. Because that's what cheapness does to you. That's what that cheap mindset, that scarcity mindset does to you. That's why I don't like Dave Ramsey, because he teaches that. He teaches that scarcity mindset. He teaches you to watch every dollar. Don't risk anything, whatever. And that's good for some people. If you're at a position in your life, you know, you're like, look, man, I'm not going to do anything else. You know, this is all I'm going to ever be. And I just want to save as much money as possible, pay off some bills. That's okay, man. Because everybody doesn't want to be, you know, everybody doesn't have the same goals as everybody, as some other people. You know, some people may not want to be rich. They may not want to be, you know, very wealthy. And they may just want all their bills paid off, the house paid off and debt free. That's what the goal is of the Dave Ramsey group, right? They just want to be debt free. And that's a good goal to be, right? Debt free is perfect, but I want to live in abundance. And I'm sure a lot of you guys do too. I want to live in abundance. I don't want to live basic, right? I want to be able to take a trip every once in a while. I want to be able to, you know, buy a nice watch every once in a while. I want to be able to not worry much about my money. I want to be able to, you know, upgrade my car every few years. That's what I want to live, right? And I'm not, and like I said, I'm not like, you know, I don't drive Lambos and stuff every day. You know, I watch my money. I make smart decisions. I'm still in this, you know, I make smart decisions, man. You know, I don't blow a lot of money, but I also don't want to live in scarcity like that. I want to live in abundance, right? That's the whole point of this wealth journey, right? Is to live in abundance. Who's going to get rich to live, to be cheap? Nobody wants to do that. That's not the point. The point is to live in abundance. The end game of this is to live in abundance, to retire early. That's the retiring early is a form of abundance, because you're able to, you're being abundant with your time at that point, right? So let's say I want to get wealthy because I want to retire early, right? That's a form of abundance, because you now, everybody else has, you know, they have to go to work 8 hours. That 8 hours is back to you. So you're living in abundance with time. So it's still a way to live in abundance, right? Time or money or resources, it don't matter. So it's all of its abundance. So that's why I don't really agree much with Dave Ramsey. People always ask me about, like, nah, man, Dave Ramsey's okay. But I just don't think that, you know, I don't follow a lot of his stuff, because it's just, it's for a certain group of people, man. It's just, and I'm sure a lot of you guys aren't like that, right? Giving your kids a head start is abundance, because the average kid's living like this and your kid is in the best schools. Your kid is getting that financial education early. Your kids are in the best daycares. That's still a form of abundance, right? So I'm not saying to lay back what, you know, grapes like the old Romans did with grapes all around you, people waving your arm, not waving you with fans and stuff. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you want to live, you don't want to be scared of anything, right? You want to be able to live in abundance. So let's get back to stocks, then I'll let you guys get the rest of your night back, right? So the second wave of Corona could be coming, right? So there's a few stocks I've been looking at, and some I've read in a couple of articles, but it's a few things that stocks I'm looking at right now. If I buy it, I'll put it on my Instagram page. If I buy any stocks, like I'm putting, and people are confused of what that room is for, that Discord room is for. That Discord room is for the short-term trades I was posting, because I moved all those to the, I used to post them on my Instagram, but people, I didn't think everybody, a lot of people didn't understand what they were doing. So they were sometimes they lose money and stuff on the bad ones. So I moved those type of higher risk stocks trades to my Discord room. I'll still be posting my long-term trades. Like there's three stocks I'm looking at right now. There's Abbott Laboratories, because we talked about a second wave of Corona coming. Now I'm like 75% sure that one's coming. I'm 75% sure one's coming. So I looked at some companies. I was like, I mean, who I looked at two companies. I said two companies that I think will be successful is a company that supplies the COVID test, and secondly is a company that may be close to a vaccine. So I did some research. I came up with two companies. Abbott Laboratories is a major supplier of COVID tests, which means that if COVID does explode, like I think it's going to do in the fall, that stock could go up. So maybe some calls, maybe some stocks on that. I don't know yet, but I'm looking into it. And then we got Pfizer, right? And then Pfizer is kind of close to my heart because I used to play basketball in Puerto Rico. Pfizer was one of our,
if you can see it, it's kind of shiny though. Pfizer was one of our sponsors back then.
But Pfizer was all, you know, it was always a good company. You know, I always liked them. They were pretty good people. But some people don't like big pharmacy, but they were always good the way when we dealt with them. You know, it was a sponsor. They were dealing with the marketing team though, so I don't know how the company is. But there's a lot of people that said that they are like one of the people closest to a vaccine. So that's another one I'm looking into. And another one is IBM. Because the tech, you know, there's been a big tech renaissance in the last, 3 months? Two, 3 months, right? But IBM hasn't really grown. And now, you guys know I got a big IBM award coming up. I can't really get into it until they do the press release. But one of my main companies, the tech company I'm the co-founder of, just received a major, major national award for one of our projects, right? And it's coming out. They're going to put it on their website. They're going to now release a tech release. So that gives us access to IBM resources, including their engineers, their systems, their management. They're also going to match our marketing dollar for dollar. So it's a lot of money, and it's a lot of resources we can use, right? So it's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal, right? Now, that's what I've been working for the last 6 months to a year towards this goal, right? So they're going to announce it next week, and when they do, I'll post it on my Instagram. I'm really not supposed to be talking about it now anyway, but I'm just going to tell you guys, they're not going to hear this. But I didn't know much about IBM up into that. So I'm like, what do they have? Because they said with this award, they create a partnership, right? So they're going to almost like invest, they're not going to invest money except through marketing dollars. So every dollar we spend on marketing, they'll match it. So every dollar that's been matched is we're a co-marketer with them on that project. So I'm looking, and they said anything they have, including their artificial intelligence, Watson, everything they have, we have access to, you know, we have access to it. So now I'm like, man, you know, let's look up what they got. Let's look at what they created. So I started researching about what they created. I'm looking up AI, cloud computing. They got a lot of competitive advantages out there. And I'm thinking, you know, first I'm thinking about what can we use, because we have access to everything for a certain amount of time. We have access to anything they have for free at no charge, including their engineers. We can see what the engineers, they can help us. It's a huge, huge thing, right? But I'm looking into it. I'm like, what do they have? What can we use? So I'm research revenue. And I figure out IBM actually has a lot of stuff. They have cloud computing. They got Watson, which is one of the best AIs there is. And we have access to that. And I'm like, man, why is their stock higher? They got all this stuff. And I'm, you know, I'm got like inside, not inside of trading, but like inside of knowledge now, you know, whatever. So I'm like, why aren't their stock higher? They have one of the best cloud computing platforms out there. They got one of the best AI platforms out there. Why is the stock not higher? So I look into it, the stock's actually going down. So I'm like, man, IBM is actually undervalued. So I looked it up, IBM is undervalued, you know, based on my analysis. I'm like, man, they're way overdue for a increase in stock. And they have a lot of competitive advantages. They got name recognition. They got customers they've had since the 50s. Because IBM was one of the big, you know, IBM made one of the biggest, the first really manufacturer of computers back in the 50s. So they got customer relations for 50, 60 years. I'm like, man, IBM is a little behind right now, but they're eventually going to come back. The stock is actually undervalued based on all of that. And I'm like, man, I'm going to start looking into IBM now, since, you know, I kind of talked to them, and I didn't know they had all this stuff. I never, you know, and I'm looking into it. And I'm like, man, you know, it could actually be a good stock to buy. So that's the other stock I'm looking at. So Abbott Laboratories, Pfizer, IBM, right? And we're looking at Neo and Tesla for some puts, hopefully next week. So let's break it down on what we're talking about. So these are the stocks I'm looking at. I'm going to redo it and let's break it back down, right? So NIO released a new hybrid SUV. So I'm looking at a call option on Monday morning. Tesla might continue its slide like it has, but it slid all last week. So there may be an opportunity for puts there. We got Abbott Laboratories, which has one of the biggest manufacturers of COVID test. So they, if we get a second wave of Corona, they may be positioned to do very, very well. Then we got another one called, we got Pfizer, which is the closest, according to my research, they're the closest to a vaccine, right? Then we got IBM Watson, which is a company I'm looking at. And I think that they have been overlooked in all of this tech stuff. I think they've been overlooked. Right. And then we got the Chestnut Checkers Discord room, the private community. If you guys want that link, just, you know, message me or whatever, and I'll send you the link. But we got to be careful with our mindset. My mindset is very, very important, right? Because whatever you say, you continue to say it, it's going to get into your head. And that's who you are, right? Because a lot of things in life are about perception. A lot of things are about perception. So perception is very important, even to yourself. Yeah, like we talk about that a little bit. A lot of times people get confused, and this goes farther than just stocks. You got to remember, a lot of times people hear these words, you know, options and time decay and derivatives, and they get scared. Oh man, that's I can't do that. Man, these are just words. That's all it is just words. That's it. So that's why in my classes I like to break it down to simple analogies, because we have to realize these words we hear in the stock, all this stuff, we do it all the time. We just don't realize what it is. We don't realize what it is. And time decay, and that's a good example of time decay, right? Time decay simply means that a particular opportunity, the closer it gets to expiration, the less value it has if the probability of something happening is not going to happen. The closer we get to it not happening, the lower the value is. We do this all the time. We don't even realize it. Right now, we tell an example of a basketball game, right? If you guys know how pickup basketball games, I'm sure a lot of you guys have played pickup basketball before. That's a pretty popular sport. That's all it is, right? So when a basketball game starts, right, the time decay is high because you got the whole game to try to win, right? So if you're sitting on the sidelines and you're going to play next game, so you got next game, and somebody that's on the court says, hey, Armando, you want to play? Of course I'm going to play. I got the whole game I could play. And in basketball, if you win, you get to stay on the court. So if you win the game, you stay on the court, right? So that means that at the beginning of the game, I got a higher opportunity to be able to stay on the court the next game, right? But so I'm willing to say, yeah, I'll play with you. But as the game goes farther down, as the likelihood of that team not going to win goes down, I'm going to be like, nah. Nah, man. You're like, hey, man, you want to play, man? They're losing by 10. The game and the score is 13-2, and they got to get the other team got to get to 15 to win. And now you're like, nah, man. I'm like, I'll just wait till the next game, because the time decay has ate up all the premium value of that position playing, right? That's all it is. I mean, we do it all the time. We don't realize it. It's pretty easy, man. If you just think about it, like regular day situations. So yeah, I'm not going to go back over that stuff, but I'll save this. If you guys want to listen to it again, time. That's what time decay is. It's just playing basketball. For those of you who play pickup basketball, you know what time decay is. You know exactly what it is. At the beginning of the game, dude's like, hey, you want to play? Yeah, I'll play with you. But as the game goes on, the likelihood they're going to win goes down. You'd be like, nah, man. Nah, I'm going to stay on this. I'll take the next game. Because time, there's not a premium on playing anymore. There's no value to play because the chance you're going to lose is very, very high. And you're going to be sitting down the next game. So you're like, nah, man, I'm just going to go and wait to the next game. Because you don't want to play. The opportunity's too low. That's what time decay is. It eats up the value of the opportunity to finally it has no value at all. That's what it is. So if you purchase the beginner's course, you should have an email with all the courses in there. But I mean, like, all this stuff, like I said, we go through this every day. We just don't realize it. Anytime you put a down payment down for something, come back and pick it up later. That's an option. Same thing. You reserve the option to keep this couch until you come back with a truck. I mean, that's all. We understand it when we talk like that, right? When we talk like that, we understand it. But when we say all options, derivatives, like, oh man, I'm confused, right? But when we say, man, you want to, if you're buying a couch, and some dude says, hey man, if you want the option to keep this couch, you got to give me $100 because I don't know if you're coming back. Now you understand what an option is. That's it. You understand it now. But if we use all these other terms, you don't understand it. It's because of the mindset. It's because you got a mental block in it. That's it. You got a mental block. We say it in simple terms. You understand it. Yeah, you put $100 down, come back and get the couch later. You put that $100 down is the option to get that couch. You don't show up, dude's going to keep the money. If you show up, you can get the couch. That's it. That's it. That's all it is, man. And we think it's like, you know, way, way harder than it is. Yeah, that's what I like about that options class. I think your name is Yearn. I don't know what your name is, but that's why I love that option class. That's my favorite class, really, because that class teaches you how to see things like that. It's not just the options. You may never trade an option after that class, but it opens up your mind to the value of all things. You put down payments down, you're calculating. You put everything's a calculation. It makes you think differently. Even if you go on, you never trade an option in your life. Now your mind's been changed permanently. You can't go back to where you were before. That's it. Once you learn about options, for you, some of you guys who don't know about options, it changes your mind fundamentally. You can't go back, which is a positive thing. You can't go back. That's it. Right? And it changes you for the rest of your life. Once you, it clicks. And people click in that. When I take that class, that's what I love about it so much, is that while the class is going on, you see people clicking. Bam, 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 bam. Like, as they ask questions and stuff like that. And it's very exciting to see everybody's mind get changed during the course of that live class. But you got to break things down simple. That's why a lot of these people, like, you got to be careful, man. Is a lot of these people say, you know, like when I was in college, and I'll tell you a story about college. The first time when I went to college, you know, you got to remember, when I went to college, man, I had like severe imposter syndrome. You got to remember, man, I came from not, you know, I was poor. Nobody in my family ever went to college. You know, I thought when I was in my last year of college, I mean, high school, it was 108, I think it was 170 people, 180 people graduated. But I'll tell you this, it was only 10 people who had a worse GPA than me out of that class. So out of 180, 170 people, 95% of them had a better GPA than me. I barely got out of high school. So about 2 months before high school's ending, I start panicking. I'm like, oh man, what am I going to do with my life now? You know, high school's about over. So the local university, luckily it was a university in my city, because if it wasn't for that, man, I probably wouldn't have done nothing. So luckily it was Austin Peay State University was in the city. I was in 8 minutes from my house. So I went down there, got it. And back then you had typewriters. So I put the thing in the typewriter and typed up the application, you know, and sent it off, man. And they sent me a rejection letter. They said, man, we can't let you in with no 1.7 GPA. I was like, oh man, what am I going to do now? So, I always had a logical mind, man. I was always smart. I just didn't do my homework. You know, that's why I had a low GPA. Because the only reason I had a 1.7 is because I did good on the test, but I always felt, I didn't do my homework. So I always had D's, almost all D's, right? I did just enough to pass by doing the test. So I get a rejection letter, right? I'm like, oh man, what am I going to do now? So I went and got the course catalog, right? And I looked and I spent all night looking at this course catalog, trying to find a loophole. I found a loophole. If you get a 28 or higher on the ACT, that your grades don't matter no more. Remember, I had 3 months to, you know, school was over in 2 months. So I was like, oh man, if I don't get a 28, which is high, you know, for somebody who got, somebody gets a 1.7 in high school, is probably going to get about a 17 on the ACT, 16, maybe lower. Like, oh man, I got to get a 28, which is higher than like 70% of people. 80% of people are like, oh man. So I went and bought an ACT book every day, man. I did study then. studied for weeks and weeks and weeks, all for 4 weeks up till it was test day. Went in there, I got a 28 exactly on the line. And I got into college like that. And they disregarded the grades. I didn't have to take any remedial classes because of the high ACT score. That pushed me past that. So I get in college. Remember, with all of that, I have imposter syndrome. Like, I feel like I don't even belong. I feel like everybody can see right through me. Yeah, because I feel like I scammed. Even though I didn't scam my way in, I felt like it, right? Because I got into a loophole. So I'm looking around me in the classes, all these smart people, these people that I know from high school, that it was almost valedictorians in my classes. And I'm like, man, you know, I felt bad. And then, like, I'd walk around campus, and, like, people would see me from school. Like, I'm surprised that you're here. You know? I mean, it was that bad in high school, right? Teachers would see me. What are you doing? I'd be like, I go to college. At college? Really? And I'd be like, yeah. So go back to school. Fast forward to the first day of class. So I'm like, oh, man, I want to do computer science. So and this story has a meaning, right? So it's talking about how people teach. So I got horrible imposter syndrome. People are looking at me. I feel like people are looking at me. I feel like I don't even belong there. But I keep pushing. I said, well, I'm just keep going to class. When I started school, I didn't even feel like I was, I didn't think I was going to graduate. I said, well, I'm just going to take it one day at a time and keep going, you know, see what happens. You know, I had nothing else to do. So I just kept going. I didn't miss any classes. I always went to class and I did my homework in college. I did my homework. I kept up with all the work. And by the second, third year, I was confident. But the first year I had imposter syndrome. So I get into class. I'm sitting on my first computer science class. This dude gets up in front of the class and starts putting math equations on the board. No, half of you guys not going to understand this. The other half's going to fail. And by the end of the semester, one out of two of you won't even be here. Like, y'all, I'm like, man, somebody that already has imposter syndrome like that already is intimidated. That intimidated the heck out of me. I never went back to that class again. Right? Never went back. And it took me two more years to finally say, man, I'm going to try computer science again. Because maybe it was that dude. After I got my confidence up, I had confidence. You know, I've been making A's and B's, almost all A's up to that point. My confidence was higher. So I went back to computer science, whole different teacher. And he taught it the right way. He wasn't trying. That dude was trying to intimidate people, the first one, because he wanted people to think he was smart. And that's what a lot of teachers do, is that they want to preserve the image of themselves being so smart. So they teach it at such a high level that the students can't understand it. That happens all the time in college, because it's not about getting the information or the knowledge to the students. It's about preserving the image of me being a genius. That's what that is. And a lot of teachers do that. And I've seen that before. After that, I went on to become a college teacher myself, an adjunct teacher, not a professor or anything, but an adjunct teacher. And I saw that and I realized, and I thought back on my college days and I realized what was going on. They want the students to believe that they're smart. So they teach at a way high level. So the students can't even pick it up. And you know, and I when I was a teacher in college for about 3 or 4 years total, I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that, man. I want them to know this is not that hard. So that's when I started looking into analogies and started trying to figure out how to teach things in a better way. And I always got high reviews on my teaching in college, right? And people, they wanted me to be a full-time teacher and everything. I just didn't want, because I didn't like the politics about it. I do love teaching, but I don't like the politics that comes along with it. So that's the reason why, you know, I'm glad you guys allow me to do this, because this is actually pretty fun for me. So we got a question. Think it's possible to learn investment and education in general instead of college and still live? College degrees aren't as valuable as they used to be. But the thing about it is that a lot of people wouldn't learn unless they were in college. Like, I never would have been exposed to computer science anywhere else, so I never would have learned it. So college, the degree may not matter, but the knowledge I got there did. The knowledge I got in that college did matter. But, you know, like I said, degrees are losing value. Degree is really worthless. And I used to tell my students, like, when I was a teacher in college, like, we teach computer science classes, and I taught English classes too, because I got another bachelor's in language. So I was teaching an English class, people were turning in their papers, and I'm like, and they get the papers up, and some of the papers are exactly the same. I'm like, man, did you copy your paper? And two girls, like, nah. I said, man, what are you doing, man? I mean, especially in computer science class, people have the same programs. And I'm like, if you don't learn this, the degree don't matter. And that's really the truth. People think that the degree matters. Like it's a ticket, like on Willy Wonka's candy factory. It's the golden ticket that's going to get you places. Degrees don't matter. It's the knowledge behind it. You can go through college and get D's and come out with that knowledge, and nobody checks on your GPA. Nobody cares. They care if you can do it or not. That's it. And that's why I used to tell my students, I'm like, man, you could cheat all you want. You're hurting yourself. And I know that's a cliche, but it's the truth. You're hurting yourself and nobody else. You got to get that knowledge, whether it's in finance, business, or whatever, right? So two quick things and I'm going to go. I got a class coming up for the mentorship people. It's free, so they don't have to pay anything. So I got a lot of requests because like about 2 months ago, I talked about a way that I use credit sometimes to make profit, right? My company has bought apps. And we've made money, you know, we bought apps with a loan and we made money off of that. So people say, hey man, can you teach a class about credit? So I'm going to teach a class about business credit and how to use it to create a passive income. And that class is in the first link in my bio, and it's next Thursday, not this Thursday coming up, but next Thursday. So that's an exciting class coming up. You know, we got the Discord room. If you want that room, it's going to be exciting in the morning. So just send me a DM and I'll give you the link to that that private Chestnut Checkers community. And like the mentorship, like Stephanie said, we got the round table on Wednesday. And we're going to discuss stocks, and then we're going to discuss what's called a minimal viable product. So we're going to discuss ways that we can create products to create a second, a third, fourth, fifth source of income quickly, right? Using that concept of minimal viable product. It's right, getting products out there as quickly as possible, testing them, and then making money, and then, you know, and within, you know, a day or two. So we're going to use that concept to create some second streams of income. So if you have any questions on that, just message me. Like I said, I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for joining, and sleep well.